Welcome to the All-Star Missions podcast. This is Peggy Nunley, and I'm so excited that you're here today. So today we're going to be doing a podcast on how do we respond to hurt that we can't heal. And I've got Rachel Edwards, a licensed marriage and family therapist, to help us address this question.
Peggy, I'm so excited to be here today, and I just want to say thank you for having me on. This is never done this before, so it'll be interesting. I want to start this afternoon with 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. And that's 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. I want to take you to, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And when we talk about missions and we talk about going places and doing things and we think about these verses, I think in our culture here in America, we oftentimes think of a chameleon kind of presence where when we're becoming something to everyone, we look like them, we sound like them, we express what they express. But the reality is, Paul is talking about empathy. He is talking about walking in someone else's shoes in the sense of as they're talking to us, which takes us out of the equation. So when we see hurt that we can't heal or that can't be healed in our lives, it really comes down to vulnerability and empathy. And as we move through places and things and people groups and environments where there are hurts that can't be healed, other than through the Lord. There are needs that we could never meet. We don't have enough to meet them. It really comes down to empathically being there. We call it reflective empathy. Being there with those individuals and hearing what they're saying and walking in their shoes with them. You know, oftentimes we feel like when we're entering something, even if we're called to be there, we feel a really strong draw to be with those people. That's because we have something to give them. But it's not generally packaged in the way that we think it should be packaged in. You know, anytime we're moving or walking in the Lord's presence and we're taking him to people and to places, however we're doing that, if we're serving with, you know, pouring bowls of soup, or if we're going into refugee camps, or if we're going on the walk and we're handing out burgers, we're leaving gifts all along the way. But really for us, we need to switch our mindset that the gift may not be packaged or look the way that we think it should look, and nor will the result look the way that we think it should look.
Now, that's really good. So today we have a team that's going into Lebanon. They're preparing to go into really one of the worst refugee camps in the world. Mm-hmm. And so as we address this question, it's going to be for that team, but it's also for, you know, the family member that just lost someone with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It's for the circumstance where, you know, you're counseling with a friend and you discover that the situation they're in is just, it's beyond what you can fix. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions I kind of want to bring to the table as we address this, you know, how do we respond to hurt that we can't heal? I mean, obviously we know that Jesus can heal every hurt. Mm-hmm. But I like what you said is that, you know, the package of what that looks like may not be what we think. And so here's my question for you today is, when we feel powerless to help someone, how do we reconcile that with the gospel? What are things that when we feel powerless, how do we continue to move toward meeting that need, that hurt, but yet it's actually not within our power to do it? Does that make sense?
Yes. And that sense of powerlessness, that sense of I can't do this or I don't have enough of that, generally that is a good indicator of our faith struggle. So if we don't feel like we have enough money or we can't provide this or we don't have the right answers or we don't have the right things to say. Like generally that is a good indicator of what our faith struggle is. More often than not, when we're experiencing that in a mission environment where we're intentionally going in to meet needs, we experience that same faith struggle probably everywhere. Mm. But to just begin to recognize that God is not asking us to do anything for Him, in the sense that we carry His power inside of us because He pours His Spirit out into us, but He's not replacing us. He's enhancing who we are, and He's not asking us to work outside of what we are capable of doing. It's our job to create an environment for Him. And the Lord, when Jesus was here on the earth, He is the best example of how to approach people. And He did not approach people with this mindset, this idea of, here, let me fix this for you. Here, let me fix this for you. He offered Himself. And so when we're going in to meet with people, we are creating an environment of, let me hear your need and carry this with you. You know, we're to bear each other's burdens together. Our exercise of faith isn't that we say all the right things and do all the right things. Our exercise of faith is that we're carrying in the Spirit that brings the healing. Our exercise of faith is that we are believing as we enter that room or that place, especially in a refugee camp, where we think our lives and who we are so intrinsically different from who we're ministering to. And the reality is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That if you stop in that moment and you let yourself be human, as Christ was human, with other people who are there, you are already connected. We're not looking for ways that we have something to give to them. We are looking for ways to connect with them, to create environment. All healing comes within the realm of relationship. And Christ is looking to heal relationship. Now, we assume, because He's going to heal that relationship, and maybe in our lives, the healing of that relationship meant a better place to live or a better job, or maybe that what came out of that relationship, some of the things that have come out of that relationship have been some changes in our families or some changes in our environments. That might look like that way for us, but that does not mean that that's what Christ is going to look like in everybody's life. So our job is not to go in and to take this special kind of power and authority and that is, you know, supernatural and amazing, and we know exactly what to say and exactly what to do. Our job is to go in humble, sitting at the lowest end of the table. Our job is to go in and to listen and to sit with people and to bear their burdens with them. You know, our responses to them should begin with, I am so sorry that this is happening to you. This is so wrong. We want to look for ways to connect. It is natural. It's our carnal man that looks for ways to see differences. It's our carnal man that looks for labels and those kinds of things. But it's our spiritual man that reaches out past that and says, I am so sorry this is happening to you. It is so wrong. Oh, can I hold your hand? Can I sit with you? Let me hear your story. And that is the power of the living God. That's how He walked among people here. And He told parables, He told stories. He offered Himself. He didn't come in and say, okay, I'm going to heal everybody so you guys follow me. He always offered Himself. And when we're going out to minister, that's kind of the ways that we maybe look at it differently, is we think the Lord is asking us to do something because He wants us to offer our abilities. But in reality, that's not what He's asking at all. He's asking us to offer ourselves, and our abilities are a plus.
That's good. You know, I feel like oftentimes in especially the American church, that when we look at circumstances that are difficult, we're always looking for, well, how do we get them out of the situation? And I know that as we take this medical team into Lebanon and we're setting a mile south of the Syrian border, and we are on the floor in a tent in a refugee camp with Syrians that have been there for years.
Yeah.
And their circumstance necessarily isn't going to change.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go in and we're going to meet some physical needs with medicine, We're praying for gospel opportunities to have gospel conversations. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, this is my question for you. I feel like in the American church, we almost think the gospel is less powerful if we don't see the instant change of circumstance. And I think that's what you're addressing here,
yes,
right? Is that
definitely.
The circumstance may not change. And so how do we reconcile emotionally the disappointment of, I want to present the gospel, I want them to hear the truth, I want them to know the hope of Jesus, but they may be in this refugee camp for the rest of their life. How do we reconcile that emotionally?
So I think first we need to strain our intentions through the Word of God.
That's good.
You know, the first thing that we need to do is, am I entering this refugee home and speaking with them because I need to see them believe so that it helps my unbelief? You know, where am I at in my faith walk? And I'm not talking about your Bible study, and I'm not talking about how you serve in your church, and I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about how you speak. Where are you at in your faith walk? We need to strain our intentions. You know, when Paul was saying, I've become everything to every man, he's saying that my intentions are to be empathetic. My intentions are to connect and to draw into relationship anyone who would be willing to come into a relationship. I am willing to be in relationship with them. We need to make sure that we're not entering these homes with the intention and understanding that if you believe, then it helps my unbelief. You need to strain, why are you there? Because if you're there to take the living God, and he is the water, living water that never runs dry, then when you're there, you know that you're bringing him there. And if he stays there, if someone invites him into their heart, that's what they have. That's the greatest thing that anybody can have. It's always present, irregardless of circumstance, that he gives peace that passes understanding, that isn't as the world gives it. We need to make sure that we're not moving in a mindset that we want to give peace that the world gives. Because peace that the world gives is to make the home look right and all of the money to be there. We want to fix the surface. Mm. But the Lord looks at the heart of the man. So one, you need to assume it's going to happen. We are not, if you're hard enough that it's not happening to you, then you're too hard to be usable by God.
Mm, that's good.
If you've got you know, a pliable, malleable spirit for the Lord, then when you go in and people begin to move around you and tell you their story, you are affected by it. They're interacting with you. Your mind and your body, they're responding to what you're hearing and what you're experiencing. If you're offering some very pure reflective empathy, you're going to pick up some vicarious trauma. So that vulnerability is really the first step, that when we go in to Lebanon and I get the opportunity to go on this trip, and I'm very excited about that. And I also had the opportunity to be in Jordan, which was my first ever mission trip and the first time I'd ever been out of the country. So it was pretty interesting for me that we are first the body of Christ. You know, whatever the team is that God has put together, that's a body, and that's his body moving in to do something for him. And we have to be first the body of Christ and then second professionals. Or if we're students, first we're the body of Christ and then second we're students. I mean, we have to switch that vulnerability. We need to be prepared to share that, because as we go in, the thing about being a trauma survivor is there's an us them mentality. So, you know, if you have had a really bad car wreck and you're sitting at dinner and there are eight people there and somebody else has had one, all of a sudden now they're on your team. They're on the trauma team. They're on your team. You guys have a connection that no one else has with you. Mm. So there's kind of an us them mentality. When you move in a mission group as a group and you're the body of Christ, you become an us team, and you're experiencing that trauma, and you need to talk with each other about it. You need to give it language. You need to allow yourself to feel it. And then I also want to encourage you, if you want to go on a mission trip and your idea of crying is weak, you need to really rethink going on that trip.
Yeah.
You really need to rethink what you're doing, because you are not emotionally prepared to minister to other people. We've got to come to understand that God gave us emotions, and powerful emotions, for some really specific reasons, and they have purpose in our life. And living a life where we deny them or ignore them is not beneficial or helpful. So when you're moving into any kind of mission situation, one, practicing vulnerability, two, taking advantage of that team and sitting with your team and talking with your team and being willing to express some hard things. I was scared today. I mean, it really struck me what I saw. I was overwhelmed. I started breathing heavy. I didn't know how to respond to this. How did you respond to that? Because then it normalizes the response. See, when we hold things inside of us because we don't want other people to know that we're weak or we were struggling, we can't normalize response. That's all Satan needs. Mm. All Satan needs to isolate you and to bring deception into your life about what you're experiencing is just for you to not talk. That's it. That's all he needs.
Mm. That's good. That's good. Well, and again, I mean, that's the way he works with believers all the time. That's how he gets us to believe half-truths and lies, is that,
definitely,
you know, what's hidden in the dark, he wants to keep in the dark. But there's something about when you wave that white flag of vulnerability and you begin to express what you're feeling, that the enemy loses his grip over us.
He does, because it's your truth. And lies are powerful when they are outside of the truth. And what I mean by is that lies are powerful when the truth isn't allowed to be expressed. Mm-hmm. Lies are powerful when the truth isn't acknowledged. When we begin to acknowledge the truth, when we begin to speak the truth, when we begin to, and I want to encourage you, positivity is not the truth. Mm-hmm. If you read the Word of God, you will not see that Christ was overtly positive. He did not pretend like everything was good when it wasn't good. He did not necessarily look for silver linings. 9 times out of 10, he was very realistic. He was very direct. He was very honest about what the situation was and what was going to happen outside of it. So that's not truth. Truth is, you know, I feel this. And comparison is not truth. So when we're moving through something and we're like, oh, it's not as bad as, immediately, you should always, that's always a satanic interjection. Mm. When we begin to compare, we're going to lose out in the end. And it is to invalidate how we feel. Now, am I telling you that your feelings tell you the truth? No, but I'm saying that how you feel is your truth.
Right. And then when you compare that to the truth,
then you can break it down. That's yes. Good. So when you can say, I feel this way, but I know that the Word says this, now the feeling begins to be defeated and the truth can be built up. Okay, Lord. And that's when we should pray those prayers. Help my unbelief. Mm. Lord, help my unbelief, because my feelings are not matching what I know to be truth. But we don't invalidate those feelings and ignore them, because then they just get stronger.
Right.
Because they're not brought out into light. See, everything needs to be brought out into the light. And I don't mean everything is in, you're with a group of people and you need to tell them all your dirty, dark secrets. I'm not saying that. I mean that when you're with a group of people and you're having the same experience, sit down and talk about that experience. Don't wait to go home and talk to your best friend that you've known for 25 years because you just don't talk to people. Well, I'm just not that person. I just don't talk to people. Become that person. Mm. Become that person. Become everything to every man. Learn to sit in a hard conversation with empathy, because that is what God needs you to do. The Lord does not need us to walk around on the earth fixing everyone's problems, giving them all the money, all the time, removing all the stress, healing all the physical wounds. He never asked anyone to do that. What he's asked us to do is to be in direct relationship with him and then move on the earth in a manner that reflects that relationship. And significant to that relationship is vulnerability. It is the willingness to sit in hard places, and it's the willingness to hold hard things with someone. You know, I think about the compassion that Jesus had on the widow and her son crying. And he was so moved by her expression of grief that he restored his life. He was so moved. And if you read that story, I would encourage you to go back and read it, that he was standing there. That's empathy. I mean, that's empathy in its purest form, that he's feeling the weight of her grief. He didn't want to stop her crying because it made him uncomfortable. He felt the weight of the loss that she had in her life, and he restored the life of that boy. Now, can we do that? No, we cannot, but I'm going to tell you what I can do. Boy, when I see you grieving, I'm going to sit beside you. I'm going to take your hand. I'm not going to stand in the way of your grief, and I'm going to hold that grief with you. I'm going to sit there with you. I'm going to hold it with you because I know that if I hold part of it and you hold part of it, now it's not as heavy. Now it's not as heavy. And when you say something to me, I'm going to say, oh, wow, I felt something kind of like this before. And we should really never say to someone, I know exactly how you feel, because you don't. And that puts you in a one-up position. That says, oh, I know you. No, you don't. You don't know them. And that's okay, because you know you. Let your experience speak for itself, and it will. When we offer people this kind of openness, this kind of respect, this is just moving respectfully in and among other people's emotions and experiences. They are empowered to speak. They are empowered to hear. And then when we sit with them and we're like, I'm willing to hold your hard stuff with you. I can sit here with you. I don't have to be too busy to just sit here with you. And I don't need to fix your stuff because it makes me uncomfortable. Mm. Then when we say, do you know that I know a living God? Do you know that when he entered my life, all the things around me were the same and somehow I was different? They can go, really? That was your experience? And they've connected with you. And so now they can begin to see, maybe your experience could be like my experience, because I've already connected with you and I can see how our experiences are similar, even though we live in different cultures, right, in different countries, in different places with different things. And that is the power of the gospel, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the power. It's that speaking our truth in the sense of this is who I am, and not being afraid to present who we are. And it's important, if you're used to walking around with a mask that other people don't really see who you are, they only see who you want them to know, again, you might want to rethink going on a mission trip, because the Lord is going to break that mask off. There's no power in that false pretend. He needs us to be us, authentic and real.
Which that can actually be scary. I know we have a saying here at All Stars that darkness pulls out darkness.
Definitely.
And so one of the questions that actually really one of the fears of when we kind of asked the Lebanon team to share with us some things that maybe that they were maybe fearful about or maybe concerned about in going into the camps is one of them was is that they were worried that the trauma in the camps will bring out or trigger some of their own past abuse. Mm-hmm. And so can you speak into that just for a minute?
Well, I'm going to say yes, it's going to. It's going to. So one of the things that Satan does is that he installs in us these wonderful little buttons as early as he possibly can. And generally, he does it in some kind of traumatic way. And then he taps those buttons all our life. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to go on a mission trip, especially a mission trip kind of like this, where it is, we're going to a very dark place, it's probably going to happen. I would encourage you to have a journal and to journal those feelings. I would encourage you to have a mentor. If you don't have one, you need to get one. You need to build that vulnerable relationship. You need to start it. And a mentor doesn't ask you to be their mentee. You ask them. It's something that you pursue. And then I would encourage you to begin to pursue God for your own healing. Pursue God for your own understanding. And in those moments, you know, you don't have to be close to everyone on the trip, but I guarantee everyone is going to have someone that they make a special connection with. Everyone's going to have someone that's kind of like that spiritual soul sister, soul connection, that there's just something there that seems to be a little bit easier. It's a little bit gentler relationship. It's a little bit easier to move through. Go to that person and talk to them. You don't have to tell them your whole story. Tell them how you feel right then. Let them sit with you in empathy and hold that with you. Let them sit there with you so that you can begin to retrain your body that even though it was this way before, it's not happening now. And then some mindfulness. So mindfulness is being in your body at that moment, at that time. And the way we tell our body that it's safe is through our breath. Breath is really important. So if you are not someone who practices good breathing techniques, get some, especially if you have some trauma. Because in these moments, you can practice those breathing techniques and your body's like, oh, well, I'm safe. I'm safe right now. That's right. I'm safe right now. And when you can bring your body back into the now and out of the memory, then that gives you the power to move through. But again, it continues to kind of redefine what you've experienced as, but it's safe now. Now we're interjecting a truth. Mm. We're bringing in a truth to an old lie, a powerful lie, an old feeling, a powerful feeling, but a truth. So it's one of those things where it is going to happen, because Satan kind of gears us up to do that. That's his purpose. That's what he's trying to do. Right. He wants us to have those buttons so that when we go out, he gets to tap them. Like, he's looking to tap those buttons. But also know that just like the Lord is there to bring healing to whoever you're interacting with through your relationship, he's there to bring healing to you through his. And he will use the relationships around you. You know, go to the leadership. Don't hide it. Don't stuff it. Don't push it away. Find someone and talk to them, because that's what you're there for. You're there to bring healing to other people in the sense that you're there to bring healing through relationship, through empathy, through connection, not through stuff. And he's there. He's got you there probably because this is a part of your life. He wants to heal. Mm. He's ready to bring freedom in that part. And he wants you to find it. And so someone around you is going to have the same ability to sit with you in your hurt, to help you walk through it, to pray with you, to bring truth to what you're experiencing.
No, I think that's really good, because I think a lot of people feel like, because maybe they have struggles of their own, that they're not qualified to be used by God. And I think that was kind of the next question is, you know, those that don't feel qualified. But the reality is that our qualification comes through the Spirit that lives within us.
Absolutely.
And so I think that we have to really look at not just, man, am I 110% before I go? The reality, Jesus called us.
Yes.
While we are in process. I mean, we're being sanctified. We're learning and growing in our faith. We're experiencing healing every day. I mean, every time I read the Word, there's a new place that he's healing in my heart, because I was born in sin. And so I see that, you know, for those even going into, you know, refugee camps, mm-hmm. I love what you brought out, is that it is that you're bringing healing through the gospel, but the gospel is going to be healing you in the process.
Absolutely.
As well. That's really good. That's good. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to speak into, especially for the Lebanon team going in? Any other point that you want to bring up? Any other thing that they need to be thinking about as they prepare to go into just some really hard places?
I just want to encourage you, again, vulnerability. If you are not someone, and as professionals, we typically are very good at not expressing vulnerability, especially in the medical profession, because we hear a lot of vulnerable things from other people, but it's really not always appropriate. And most of the time, it's not appropriate for us to express vulnerability ourselves. We're also used to being the expert in the room. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a good grasp on vulnerability, if you don't have a good grasp on creating powerful relationships through intentional vulnerability quickly, you need to listen to some podcasts. I mean, get in some Brené Brown, get into something that helps you understand some of what's going on and keeps us from being vulnerable. And then to know it is completely okay to say, I am so sorry this is happening to you. That is not trite. I know that we think that that's, you know, you're just kind of being complacent. You don't know what to say, so you're just saying whatever. No, when we take somebody's hand or we connect with him, and it's the connection, it's not the words. I am so sorry this is happening. This is so wrong. Oh, wow. Sitting with someone is just as powerful as what we are trained to do. Mm-hmm. It is just as powerful as the physical healing that we're trained to bring. And then just kind of exploring empathy and practicing, and I know you're going to think I'm being silly, practice expressing empathy. Pick up some you know, again, a podcast or even just Googling reflective empathy, and pick up some of the word choices and begin to intentionally use them, because it is a practiced ability. It is something, when we need to take ourselves out of us and into somebody else, it's not something we do naturally. Nobody is naturally about other people. No one. We're all about ourselves all the time. So begin to practice it with your children, with your spouse, and just know that, yes, there are going to be difficult times on this trip. And the one last thing I would say, and I would say this because I went to Jordan, I would say it because I went to Canada, and I would say it as I'm going to Lebanon, get out of your head. You cannot prepare for what's going to happen. You do not know what's going to happen, and it's not going to look or sound anything like you think it should look or sound, because it's the Lord, and He has prepared our path. He's the one who's setting out what's going to be before us, and that's okay. It is okay not to know. It is okay not to have everything under control, because we are not the ones ultimately in control anyway. It's okay to recognize, I don't know, and that's okay. It's okay to just be okay. So just to come to understand that when we're thinking about going and you're thinking about the trip, kind of resign your heart to, Lord, this is a sacrifice of praise. I'm releasing this to you. And then let yourself go and experience, because the experience is going to blow you away.
That's great. Rachel, thank you so much for being in here today. I appreciate all of your words of wisdom and counsel. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in Lebanon. And for anyone listening to the podcast, wherever you're going, however God wants to use you, just know that we're praying for you, that that you will be present, mindful, mm-hmm. and vulnerable, and just open to allow the Lord to do what only He can do. All right. God bless you.